So if someone had to ask us what the book of Proverbs is about, we'd say the book of Proverbs is a book about wisdom. And the purpose of the book is to make us wise people. When we just read the first two verses, we see that, where Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, writes, "To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight." Biblical wisdom is a God-given ability to understand His world, to know His will, and to live rightly before Him. It involves to have moral understanding, spiritual insight, and practical skill to live everyday life. But Proverbs teaches us that this wisdom isn't merely a set of principles to master. It is rooted in relationship with the Lord Himself. And this relationship is marked by fear of the Lord and faith in Him. Deep reverence toward Him and dependence upon Him. And when we read the book of Proverbs in the light of the whole Bible, we understand that this relationship with God is only possible through Jesus Christ, through His saving work. Sinners like us are reconciled to God. By the Holy Spirit, we are taught to indeed fear the Lord and to have the obedience of faith. Wisdom ultimately leads us to Christ, who Himself is the wisdom of God. As we've journeyed through Proverbs, we have learned that this wisdom doesn't appear automatically or overnight, does it? Rather, it is cultivated through a lifetime of training by our God Himself. And it occurs through ordinary means, receiving His instructions and internalizing it in our hearts, learning to listen to God's voice through Scripture and to obey His commandments, growing in discernment. And that is the ability to distinguish in every situation what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. And seeking to apply biblical counsel in the complex situations of everyday life. And we find ourselves in those. Life often is complicated, and God's Word has just the wisdom that we need. Now, all these are vital, vital means by which God forms us into wise women and men, girls and boys. Yet there is another means that is repeatedly emphasized: discipline and correction. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that discipline and correction aren't concepts that we naturally embrace. Society values things like personal autonomy, self-expression, individual rights, and your emotional well-being. And as a result, discipline and correction are often viewed with suspicion, especially when it involves authority, restraint, and consequences that are imposed by others. Many people associate it with punishment, control, or even abuse, rather than loving training and character formation. The Bible presents a very, very different picture. Not only are discipline and correction essential for our growth in wisdom, they are gifts from God. In Proverbs, the Lord's discipline and correction are the purposeful actions of a wise and loving Heavenly Father by which He trains His children to live rightly. Discipline refers to the process by which God trains us to become obedient. Correction refers to that process that God uses to restore us to the path of obedience. And taken together, they express God's covenant love, His care, and they intended to produce maturity, wisdom, and godliness. Let's look at these essential aspects of our training in wisdom. For that, we will go to our key text tonight, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Please go there with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. This verse presents to us the Lord's discipline and correction in a remarkably positive light, which makes it profoundly countercultural. But when culture clashes with Scripture, it is Scripture rather than culture that must shape our thinking. Is that not so? Now notice the beautiful structure of these two verses. They consist of two parallel statements. The first one gives us an exhortation. The second one gives us the reason. So, firstly, the exhortation. God commands us not to treat His discipline and correction, that is, His training in obedience and His restoring to obedience, as something loathsome. We must never reject it or become tired of it. We to be doing the very opposite. We should treat divine discipline and correction as valuable and desirable, and therefore we must always receive it with gratitude and embrace it with humility. In effect, the Lord teaches us as His children, saying, "My son, my daughter, do not lose heart, but take courage when I discipline and correct you." Secondly, the reason. Why should we receive the Lord's discipline and correction in this way? Because there aren't signs of His rejection towards His children, but evidence of His love. For the Lord reproves, that means corrects, even sometimes rebukes His children just as an earthly father does. A wise and loving father doesn't leave his child to wander unchecked, nor does he ignore his child's destructive attitudes and behaviors. Because he loves his child, he trains, guides, and corrects him or her. So it is with our Heavenly Father. He doesn't abandon us to our own devices. We do not want to be abandoned to our own devices. Since He loves them and He delights in them, He patiently and persistently works to shape them into a wise and godly people. Therefore, He will discipline them and He will correct them throughout their lives, even when they are old. Now, to help us understand the Lord's discipline and correction and how it operates in the lives of God's people, consider with me the imagery of a shepherd. And this is very fitting because our Lord Jesus describes Himself as the good shepherd who lovingly shepherds his people. Now, in the Bible times, you might know that a shepherd typically carried two instruments with him, a rod and a staff. The staff was a long stick with a hooked end, and it was used to guide the sheep along the right path, to rescue the sheep when they become trapped or wander into danger. But then the shepherd also had his rod, which was a shorter, sturdier instrument, which was used to protect the sheep from threats, prod the sheep onto the right path, and to exercise authority. Together, the staff and the rod present the shepherd's loving commitment to guide, protect, and correct the sheep. In the same way, our good shepherd shepherds us by disciplining us and correcting us. With his discipline, he's going to guide us, teach us, train us. And with his correction, he's going to restore us when we fall into sin, folly, and disobedience. Now, when the Lord does it, it's not merely to get us to walk on the right way. It is that he might bring us closer to himself, so that we might grow in godliness and wisdom that reflects what? Our shepherd. Now, having seen that the Lord's discipline corrects those he loves, the important question is, how does God do it? How does it come to us? The book of Proverbs doesn't leave us guessing. Throughout the book, it shows us several ways that the Lord employs to train his children in the path of wisdom and to bring them back when they wander. The first one, primary one, which is not a surprise, is God's word. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light. Now look at the next part of the verse. And the reproofs, or the corrections, of discipline are a way of life. The instructions in God's word aren't merely a collection of rules to follow. They are a spiritual lamp for our feet, a light for our path, to guide us so that we don't stumble or stray in a spiritually dark world. Likewise, the corrections in God's word are not burdens, they're not punishments, but loving discipline from our Heavenly Father. Many times, the Lord corrects us simply when we read Scripture, hearing a sermon, participating in the Bible study, or receiving counsel. I might add there, and sometimes when you, the person who does the counseling, the person who talks back to you is actually correcting you without you even knowing, because they testify and tell you of things that happen in their life, and you realize, I better keep my mouth shut now because they're busy correcting me, but I will not tell them they're doing that. But when a verse confronts us, a command pierces our conscience, a truth illuminates our ignorance or exposes our sin, what is happening at that moment? The Holy Spirit is graciously guiding, correcting, and training us through the Word. And that is why we should never come to Scripture to just collect information or gather arguments. We should come expecting transformation. Every time we open our Bible, every time we hear the Word of God preached and taught, we should be eagerly listening for, Lord, what ought I do and not do? The wise listener embraces the Word wholeheartedly, knowing it's the way of life. Secondly, the book of Proverbs repeatedly presents parents as God's appointed instruments of discipline and correction in the lives of their children. And aren't the parents thankful for this point now? Our key text, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, is itself part of a father's instruction to his son. In fact, the appeal, "my son," occurs 23 times throughout the book of Proverbs, and it highlights the central role of parental training in wisdom. Now, Proverbs presents two main ways in which parents train their children in discipline and correction. What are those? The first one is obvious. It involves teaching children the Word of God and teaching their children in such a way that they impart wisdom, give them counsel, issue warnings, and encourage obedience and faith. And the thing is, it's meant to shape the child's mind and the child's heart towards fearing the Lord and trusting in the Lord. So that relationship with a child, that heart connection with God, is the primary purpose. That's the first instrument that the parent uses. But you know the other one? The good old rod. Now, to many today, it might not be very obvious what that is. But some of the older generation will be able to tell us very quickly what that instrument is. It is a small stick or a switch used by a loving parent for physical discipline. Now, it is not a weapon of abuse or an outlet of uncontrolled anger, but it's a means of exercising parental authority as part of the child's training. It is God ordained. According to Proverbs, its purpose is to drive out folly, to impart wisdom, and lovingly correct the child in a way that words sometimes fail to do. While Scripture doesn't prescribe a precise way in which the rod is administered, it is obviously to be measured, controlled, and loving discipline intended to correct the child rather than injure the child or humiliate the child. In this way, it serves as one of God's tools given to the parent to fulfill their God-given responsibility of training children in the way of wisdom. Now, children, may I ask you, do you welcome the Lord's discipline and correction that comes to you through your parents? I'm not asking, are you enjoying the discipline, but are you welcoming the discipline? Let's go to the third way in which God's discipline and correction comes to us. That is through sound Bible teachers and faithful friends. Let's look at them. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, it speaks of the tragedy of rejecting correction through those God placed in our lives. It says, "And you say, 'How I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors.'" God uses pastors, elders, teachers, and mature believers to instruct us, to warn us, to help us walk closer to Christ. Sometimes people think that you could do your Christianity all by yourself. I have my Bible, I have the Holy Spirit, and that is all I need. It is just a pity that they don't read that Bible that they have in their hand, because it will tell them that there is a place for these people in our lives. One of the marks of wisdom in Proverbs is to embrace the God-given roles in our lives of these people, and to actually learn from them and adjust our ways accordingly. Now, the Lord also uses faithful friends. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Now, contrary to popular thinking, a friend isn't just someone you enjoy spending time with, or someone that is your own age. In Proverbs, a true friend is someone who loves us enough to speak the truth, to give wise counsel, and to lovingly rebuke us when necessary. How many of us have friends like that? How many of us are friends like that? Now, such words may hurt and wound our pride, but they are faithful wounds because they're motivated by love and a genuine concern for our spiritual good. When correction comes from a sound teacher and from a faithful friend, wisdom listens. Too often our first response is to write it off. Well, that's just their opinion. Or they don't know my situation. Yet, what if the Lord is speaking through that person? What if He is exposing a blind spot, correcting a sinful attitude, or warning us about a foolish course of action through that person? The wise person doesn't immediately dismiss correction. He humbly asks himself, "Is there something here that the Lord wants me to hear? And if so, change my thinking, my attitude, and my behavior." Let's look at one more way in which the Lord's discipline and correction comes to us. Proverbs teaches us that the Lord is sovereign over all our circumstances. It also teaches that He may cause us to face the consequences of our actions. In His wisdom and providence, He may use both to discipline and correct His children. Sometimes He brings us through a trial, disappointment, delays, losses. And such experiences often expose our weakness, reveal our idols, deepen our faith, and teach us to depend more fully on the Lord. Other times, He allows us to experience the consequences of our own foolish choices and behaviors. Proverbs reminds us that folly has consequences. And if we never feel those consequences, what are we going to learn? When difficulty comes our way, we shouldn't allow ourselves to become bitter, blame God, or ask, "Why me?" Rather, we should ask, "What is the Lord teaching me through this? And how is He using this to grow me in wisdom and godliness?" Our Heavenly Father is too wise and loving to bring adversity in our lives as His children without a purpose. Sometimes He allows us to reap the consequences of our actions so that we may learn wisdom. It's important for children to learn that. When they make certain choices, they must feel the consequences, because life gets only more complicated and more pricey. And if children don't learn it when they're young, what's going to happen when they're old? At other times, He leads us through hardship, listen to this, simply to humble us. There's probably no one among us that is as humble as we should be. And it test us, to do us ultimately good, like he did with his people Israel when he led them through the wilderness. Actually, I had a conversation with Naomi this morning. We were just talking about, God isn't interested in us having all this, like, let's say, good marks in an exam, for example. I mean, that's not the most important thing to God, is it? But it is important to God that we have character. And sometimes we learn the best character when we do particularly bad in an exam. Is that not true? God wants us to be Christ-like. And there is no ways that we all become Christ-like when everything goes our way. There is no ways. We will be very unlike Christ when that is our life. So here we have it. Various ways in which the Lord disciplines and corrects us through His Word, parents, other believers, circumstances. And it reminds us that His discipline and correction are never random or occasional. They're constant, wise, and very, very intentional. Our Heavenly Father is actively working to get us into shape for heaven. There don't want to be any fools in heaven. Our key application tonight is simple. Do not despise or grow weary of the Lord's discipline and correction in your life, regardless of the way it comes to you. Why? Because that is exactly how our Heavenly Father trains us in godliness. Hebrews chapter 12, which Matt read out to us just earlier in the service, applies this message to us, and it applies it especially in the context of hardship, which is when discipline is often felt the most deeply. The believers in the book of Hebrews were suffering for their faith. Some were about to grow weary and lose heart. Maybe you feel like that in your Christian walk. You just feel it's hard. Life is hard. So the writer reminds them, and it reminds us to do what? To look to Christ. To look to Christ, who endured the greatest possible hostility from sinners. He tells us to view our hardships through the lens of our Father's wise and loving discipline. Is that how you view your hardship, your struggles in life? My Father's wise and loving discipline. This is one of the great perspective-changing truths in the Christian life. And that is why this health, wealth, and prosperity teaching is so toxic. It's so unbiblical. When difficulty comes, our instinct is often to question God, to doubt His goodness, and to wonder whether He has turned His back on us. Hebrews teaches us to think very differently. Our trials are not random, meaningless events outside of God's control, but it is part of your special training program. And when we go through this, God wants to tell you it's because you're His child. He does it for your good, and so that you may share in His holiness. This means that every trial presents us with a choice. We can either resist God's discipline, become bitter, and waste our suffering. Or we can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of our Father and be transformed by it. Perhaps you're presently experiencing the discipline of the Lord through a difficult providence, a painful disappointment, a season of weakness, a battle with sin, and a trial that seems to sink you. If so, don't interpret this as a rejection from God. It might actually be the very opposite. The Lord loves you and He is at work in you. So when you feel exhausted, discouraged, ready to quit, what should you do? Look to Christ, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, especially when we experience our Father's discipline. And when we do so, we are going to be helped to receive it humbly, knowing that it comes from our wise and heavenly Father, and it is for our eternal good. The rod and the staff are painful, but they're in the hands of the Good Shepherd. This makes all the difference. The Good Shepherd knows His sheep. He loves His sheep. And through every discipline, every correction, He is leading them on the path of wisdom and righteousness until He brings them home. Amen.